You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's easy to make a child's holiday. Just bring a new unwrapped toy to First Energy Stadium on Sunday, December 15th for the Cleveland Browns Toys for Tots Toy Drive. Marines will be collecting toys and cash donations at the gates from 11 a.m. through the first quarter. For more information, visit clevelandbrowns.com. As we prepare for what can only be described as an interesting week, another interesting week here in Cleveland Browns world at the Dog Bowl in Berea, we welcome in from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, the one and only Mary Kay Cabot. And Mary Kay, let's just start with the topic du jour. And really, it's been the topic all year long, the quarterback position of this team, now faced with potentially starting a fourth different quarterback this season. What do you make of what's going on right now?
Well, you know, I was just standing outside watching practice, and it's really, really odd to look out there. You see number 7, you see number 16. You don't see Brandon Whedon or Jason Campbell out there. It's just a very, very weird sight to have to think that one of these guys might go in and start against Bill Belichick. And as you guys probably know, I go way, way, way back 100,000 years with Bill Belichick, all the way back to 1990, and I know how his mind works. I know that he will be totally licking his chops if he gets one of these guys in there that they've started a combined 4 games between them. And, you know, it's just going to be it could be a very long afternoon in New England.
You know, and I think that's the biggest concern with Alex Tanny is what you just stated, is exposing him to his first NFL start under these circumstances. Under any circumstances would be tough, but these circumstances could be damn near impossible.
Yeah, I would not do it. I would, you know, given the choice between, if it comes down to Caleb Haney versus Alex Tanny, there's something about the speed of the game. If you have never experienced it before, you don't want your first time to be against the 9-3 Patriots in New England against Bill Belichick's defense. Although, I mean, they are a little bit banged up, but it's still Bill, and he's going to find a way. He would find a way to just try to ruin that young man for 3 hours.
When you watched them out there, what were your impressions in the limited time you were out there of Caleb Haney and of Alex Tanny?
Well, you know, when I watched Alex for a couple of days and a couple of practices now, and, you know, he throws a nice tight spiral, a nice tight ball. We did not see very much today except for them throwing to the running backs a little bit. So we didn't get to see a lot. You know, I can't really say that I got great insight in standing out there, but I mean, they both throw a nice ball, I can tell you that. They weren't wobbling all over the place, and even though that sounds kind of crazy, I have seen that in practice. They both look like they can put the ball on the money. Both of them are talking a good game about knowing enough about this system that they feel like they won't completely make fools of themselves. When we talked to Alex Tanny today, I asked him, are you going to have a wristband on? How many guys have I seen come through here that have to get thrown into a game and they put it all down on a wristband? He said no, he's not going to wear a wristband. He wants to be able to look guys in the eye and tell them, here's what I'm going to do, here's what you're going to do.
That's a good sign. I mean, in terms of maybe grasping the leadership part of what you should be as a quarterback, but you also got to make sure you got the right play. And I think that should take precedence. So if he can do that, like the waiter in the restaurant who says they don't have to write it down when you give them their order, okay, so the order better come back right because you didn't write it down. But that said, with regard to this game and how you prepare for this game, and Nathan brought up a point about the receivers. Just catching the rock from somebody other than Whedon or Campbell, at least that much they have some familiarity with. They don't have that with either of these guys. I mean, we're talking about the starting receivers, right? And they're going to – I don't know how you can parcel enough reps so that Josh Gordon is catching a sufficient number of passes from Haney and from Tanny and then to feel, okay, I've got some rhythm and timing down with him, and the same with Devon Best, Greg Little, on and on.
Well, you know what? I will tell you. You know that Bill Belichick, his philosophy has always been go and find the guy on the other team that you need to take out of the football game and do whatever you have to do to take that guy out of the mix. And so he is scheming and game planning to shut down Josh Gordon. He's going to see extra attention in this game. Mm. It should open things up a little bit. I mean, the other guy should be able to find ways to get open, but they have to find ways to produce. And it has been such a disappointing season for Devon Bess, for Greg Little, and lately for Jordan Cameron. He's really kind of fallen off the map a little bit. So somebody's got to step up big because they are going to take Josh Gordon out of this football game as best they possibly can. Now, even when people have tried to do that before, he seems to find a way to glide open and effortlessly catch the football. And I can't say enough about how good he is. And I don't know that I've ever seen a receiver here that is as naturally gifted and talented as Josh Gordon in the 20, I don't know how many ever years, 20-some years that I've been covering this team. Incredibly impressive. But over the in 9 games, Devon Bess has had, I believe, 27 yards or fewer. And in 9 games, Greg Little has had, I think, 33 yards or fewer.
Yes.
That's not good enough.
No, they're at the bottom in terms of yards per target in the National Football League as well. And then you go back and you want to know if Bill Belichick is capable of taking away a team's number one weapon. Go back to week number 6 against the New England Patriots. Jimmy Graham, 0 catches in that game. They put Aqib Talib on him. They kind of double-teamed him at the line. And I think you're going to see, the good news is you'll be able to move Josh Gordon around the formation a little bit more than Jimmy Graham. But I think if Josh Gordon ends up with a lot of stats in this game, I think it's going to come in the fourth quarter when this game is well out of reach and maybe Bill Belichick has called the dogs off a little bit there. You know, we talked about it's unfair to Alex Tanny. I would say sometimes maybe the unknown, the team has no chance to prepare for him. They have no idea. He's kind of a wild card. And I go back to Case Keenum's first start, which for the Houston Texans was in Kansas City when Kansas City was undefeated. Their defense at that point was by far the best in the National Football League. And he went out there and played a pretty darn good game and was in a position really to win that game. I think they lost 17-16, if I'm not mistaken, in that game on the road. Maybe I'm just more of a gunslinger mentality. I'm like, give this kid a chance because Caleb Haney's out of the league for a reason. He's been seen in the league, and he's not here. He wasn't in the league for a reason. Alex Tanny is unknown, and hey, why not see if you have something in him?
Well, you know what you could do is you could play both guys, and we even asked Chud that today. You know, we said, hey, you know, is that a possibility? Get them both ready. Give them each something to do that they could possibly do well. And he said all options are open right now. Now, would that be ideal? No. But, you know, why not be ready to do something like that? If you want to throw off the Patriots, that would be, I mean, you could alternate series. You could throw somebody else in there on third down. I mean, you know, they have got to get creative perhaps in this game to keep pace with these guys. I would try anything.
Yeah, Mary Kay Cabot joins us from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Not so sure about alternating series, but I hear what you're saying, that conceivably get both of them in there, and you might have to have both of them in there for a couple of reasons. One, and this is the biggest concern when it comes to quarterbacks, and I think it would be just as applicable to Haney as it is to Tanny, is blitz pickup, blitz recognition, and pass rush recognition. That 3-4 that the Patriots play, that Bill Belichick employs, takes those outside linebackers and widens them out much more so than most teams play that type of scheme. Certainly the way the Browns don't widen guys quite the way these guys do. That is their defensive strength, is trying to get that pressure. And it's also recognition and picking up blitzes and blocking and knowing what's coming and where it's coming from. That's something that I think neither guy, but especially Tanny, is going to have a problem with. And if you put one of them in there and he gets that hit that takes him out for a while, perhaps the whole game, and the history of Browns quarterbacking injuries right now, you go into a game now almost expecting the quarterback not to finish the game. I mean, it's sad, but that's you know, the proof is there in
yes.
terms of what we've seen, right? I'm not saying that to be a smartass. I believe that's exactly what it is. But beyond that, you look at alternating guys, and you could run into some problems with, I'm sure, with continuity with the other players who are going to look at that plan and say, Coach, seriously? And I think that's the thing that Rob Chudzinski and North Turner have to be true about. As much as I think Nathan's right, you know, why would you worry about anything at this point? Caution to the wind, see what the kid can do. They can't, as coaches, afford to kind of think that way. They just can't.
Yeah, no, you're right. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I was exaggerating a little bit on like alternating series and things like that, but if you try to throw a Caleb Haney in there and you see, you know, I guess I'm saying have a short leash, throw Alex right. Tanny in there and say,
sure.
Hey, you know what, throw him in for a series and see who's got the hot hand. Don't let the situation get out of control. The other thing that has, there's a couple other things that have got to happen if they want to try to keep pace. Unfortunately, they don't have, you know, much of a running game. We know that. But they have to find a running game. They have to commit to it, and they have to try to pound the ball a little bit. And these guys can be run on. Carolina has shown that you can run on the New England Patriots right now. So, you know, get those guys out there, you know, get them going, you know, rotate them all in, give them all the ball, and see who can kind of get going downhill a little bit in the running game.
This is a team that over the last 2 weeks has given up 395 yards rushing to running backs. In the last 2 weeks alone, 280 to the Broncos, 115 and 3 scores to the Texans. They've given up over 100 yards rushing to running backs in 7 of the last 8 games. Unfortunately, we are not a team that is equipped to take advantage of that at this moment. I think you're right. You're going to have to go out there and run. But in order to do that, you're probably going to have some success converting some third downs. That is, I think, where this team could run into problems in this game. And you talked about, you know, the blitz pickups, getting to the quarterback. Chandler Jones, 10.5 sacks on the season. Rob Ninkovich has 5. They can get to the quarterback effectively. They're going to do everything, as you pointed out, to take away Josh Gordon, and it's going to be up to Greg Little, Devon Bess, and Jordan Cameron to try to beat the New England Patriots with Caleb Haney or Alex Tanley most likely throwing them the ball. And unfortunately, being a realist, that does not sound like a tremendous recipe for greatness for the Cleveland Browns.
No.
Doesn't?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, maybe this is a game where Jordan Cameron can get untracked a little bit. Again, they have some injuries piling up on their defense. So, you know, even if they can't run the ball, you know, perhaps this is a game where they can find some mismatches, where Jordan Cameron can kind of get in there, get back in the flow a little bit. You know, he's someone.
We've been waiting for it, yes.
Yeah, he's someone we've seen him do it enough this season that we know that he's capable of. I mean, if we're waiting for Greg Little to have that kind of a game or Devon Bess right now to have that kind of game, you might be waiting a long time. But Jordan Cameron should be able to do that. And you know what? And defensively, you know, these guys have got to get there. They've got to start getting there.
That's you bring up such a great point, Mary Kay, because they went into this last game against Jacksonville putting emphasis on pass rush, which – and when you hear that, you sort of scratch your head and say, wait a minute, you're going into week 13 putting emphasis on the pass rush. That I understood that to be the emphasis from the minute Ray Horton was hired. From the second this team said, we're going to be a 3-4 aggressive Dick LeBeau-type defense. That's what I thought. But they got away from that, or at least they weren't having this success for 2 weeks in a row.
That's the difference. And they haven't gotten away from it. The blitz percentages are the same.
The blitz percentages are the same, but I'm telling you internally, the thought process was they weren't emphasizing it enough from a skill standpoint and winning your individual battles. And that was a point of focus in practice this past week leading up to the Jacksonville game. And what was the result? They got 2 sacks. They got a little more pressure. It still wasn't great. I mean, Chad Henne still had far too much time to work with and had success. But Tom Brady, that is the only formula I've seen work against him. The only one, unless he's really having the off days that he had earlier in the season getting in his face.
Absolutely. And you know what? I mean, you have to count it as a disappointment that Paul Kruger right now has 2.5 sacks.
Definitely.
Chris Owens went out on injured reserve with 2.5 sacks. Chris Owens, okay?
Yeah.
You know, Barkevious Mingo, off to the great start, but it's not okay for him to have 1 sack in the last 7 games. You take those two guys, and you're talking about 1 or 2 sacks from both of them in the last 7 or 8 games. That's not good enough. Jabal Sheard needs to be able to get there. I mean, they really pretty much have their full complement of pass rushers. Even Desmond Bryant, you know, he's disruptive he's active and he's making things happen, but it's not enough and it's not anywhere near what I expected and I'm sure a lot of people expected.
Yeah, no doubt. Mary Kay, thank you so much for your time and breakdown and knowledge, and we'll talk again.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
She is Mary Kay Cabot, and she covers the Browns for Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We got much more coming up, don't we, big guy? As you take a bite of food. All right.
We certainly do. And we're also going to get to see one thing, and we'll talk about this when we come back. Leon McFadden, yesterday you said Paul Kruger you felt was the most disappointing offseason acquisition. I had said to this point it's been Leon McFadden. Well, Chris Owens is on IR. Leon McFadden is going to be playing. He's going to be playing a lot against Tom Brady and the Patriots. We'll get a chance to see him over the rest of the season and see. And I actually think it's good. Let's see if he can develop into a player that can help the Browns in 2014 and beyond, which you would hope a third-round pick could do. We'll be back with more CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.